This episode of TGC's Word of the Week is sponsored by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Prepare for more faithful service at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Schedule an individual visit or register for preview day at sbts.edu/visit.
All has an eternal purpose, to make Jesus known. And the change of circumstances can't shake that, because it doesn't matter where he lands. Is there for that specific purpose.
This is TGC's Word of the Week, a sermon podcast from the Gospel Coalition. This week's sermon, Driven by the Gospel, was preached by Lutik Mosone at Christchurch Midrand near Johannesburg in South Africa on July the 23rd, 2017. The text is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Listen now to Lutik Mosone preach Driven by the Gospel.
Today's reading will be coming from Philippians 1, verse 12 to 26. Philippians 1, verse 12 to 26. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. This is the word of God.
This evening we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 26. And we have titled the message, Driven by the Gospel. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to get into this passage. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us so that we can be reconciled to you, so that we can call your Father and we can be called your children. Lord, it is our prayer this evening that you may speak to us through your word. And I pray, Lord, that through your word you may transform us. And I pray, Lord, for those that are lost, that through your word this evening you may bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for all of us that this evening, Lord, through the message, we may be encouraged that all our lives, Lord, may be marked by the gospel and may be driven by the mission that the Lord Jesus Christ has left us on this earth to do, which is to spread the good news and make him known. And Father, we pray that you may be with us for the rest of our time this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, so if you watch news, you would have discovered that this past week, the world went crazy when the new Mercedes-Benz X-Class Bucky was released in South Africa. I don't know if you had a look at the video, it's online, but it's unreal because people were freaking out online about, this new Mercedes Bucky. And I had a glimpse of the video online. I watched it for a bit during my spare time, and I didn't find anything that they said about the new Baki climbing mountains or climbing walls. You know, there was never anything like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new way of revolutionizing wall climbing with this new Mercedes-Benz X-Class Baki. They never said anything like that. And I wonder why. Why didn't they say anything like that? Well, I guess they understand what we understand, that the greatest potential is reached and the highest satisfaction is enjoyed when the thing is used for what it is created for. Now, we understand that well, and they understand that well. The car is meant to be driven around and to take you places to places. And then slowly, slowly, it takes over your life. I mean, that's what normally happens. And the reality is that we all understand that. We all understand that. And this is true for all things, and not just cars, but for all things. Freedom for anything living is not the absence of limitation, but it's the ability to pursue unhindered what we have been created for, or what that particular thing has been created for. Now think about this for a moment. A fish is most free when it swims, because that's what the fish has been created for. A bird is more free when it flies, because that's what a bird has been created for. You see, the question is what I was made to do, and let me do that. Now, as I say this, some of you probably agree with me, but not everyone believes that. Not everyone believes that. I mean, if you go around the world and you ask people to tell you why they do what they do, you'll be shocked what kind of answers you get. Most people can tell you what they do, but they cannot tell you why they do what they do. And that's asking a big question. Not just what you do, but why do you do what you do? What's your reason for existence? Why do you wake up early in the morning? What's the meaning for life? What is the reason for all of this? I think those are most prominent questions that we all need to ask ourselves. Now in life, there are two ways in which people choose to live their lives. And the first one is, I exist to discover and embrace God's plan for my life. So God made me for a purpose. I need to discover that and fulfill it. And that is to know God and to make him known. So that's one side of the camp. And there are other people who say that, no, there's no higher purpose in life. You have no destiny. You're just an accident. So you just have to figure out what makes you happy and do it. So you get those two groups of people in our lives and in our culture. One say that I'm pursuing what God wants me to do, and the other said there's no purpose in life, so I'm just going to do what makes me happy until it all ends. Now, for the rest of our time here this evening, we're not going to go into philosophical background of why people believe those two things. But what we're going to do, we're going to take these two views and take them to the street. Let us see how they match up with the realities of life. Let's take these two realities. I embrace God's purpose for my life, or I just create my own and do whatever makes me happy. Let us take these two views, these two ways of living life. Let us take them to the streets of Johannesburg, and let's see how they play out in real life. Let us see how they work out in real life when circumstances change. Let us see how they play out when other people succeed in something that I'm chasing after. Let us see how they handle the weight of death. Let us see how they handle the weight of difficult circumstances. And that's what we're going to be doing this evening. We're going to do that by looking at Paul's life in this fascinating passage that was read for us. And I think here, as we unpack Paul's life, we'll see that amidst of difficult circumstances, Paul has an incredible joy in the most difficult circumstances. And because I'm a rich SA minister, we are going to look at 3 points. So the first thing is, how did these two ways of life handle the changing of circumstances? You see, if I embrace God-given reason for my life, it cannot be overturned or overruled by changing of circumstances. But if you create your own purpose, then it can't be ruled by changing of circumstances. Now, for example, if you make it your desire a success in sports, what happens when you get injured? Then your meaningful life ceases to exist. And I learned this earlier in my life when I was in high school. I was passionate about soccer. I thought I would be a professional soccer player. I got injured, and it felt like my life was over. I mean, you know it. Many of us have been around to see many people in society. Some of our most famous sports figures, they pursue sports as the ultimate reason for their existence. And when they get older, they can't move as fast as they could when they were younger. And they just hang around for too long. You see them, 40 years, still stuck in the soccer field. Or some of them, they turn to drugs or alcohol because there's no point. There's no point because that's all that they had. And if you watch martial arts like me, you'll see it in martial arts. Some of the old guys, they're still stuck in there. And I mean, you just feel sorry for them. Like, someone, can you just get that 40 year out of there? Because someone's going to kill them. Because it's bad. Because that's all they have. Without that, they've got nothing else. I mean, you know it in our society. If you make it a success in business, what happens when the downgrade hits? What happens? Your whole meaning for life ceases at that point. But if you have God-given purpose and you are pursuing that for your life, then no circumstances can shake that. No circumstances can shake that. And that's what you see in Paul's life. Look at verse 12 and 13. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul says that I want you to know that what is happening to me has really served to advance the gospel. His reasoning for life was to advance the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his circumstances, what are his circumstances? Paul, when he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi, he's in jail. He's writing this letter from a jail cell. Now remember that Paul's mission was to travel around and preach the gospel. So you will think that Paul getting arrested, that will deter his purpose for life. Because he was going around preaching the gospel, and you'll think that prison will be a place that he doesn't want to find himself in. Because that will affect his mission. You will think that being locked down will ruin it. But that's not for Paul. Paul has an eternal purpose to make Jesus known. And the change of circumstances can't shake that. Because it doesn't matter where he lands. He's there for that specific purpose. So he lands in prison. And he goes, guys, I landed in prison. And check what he says. He doesn't say, yo, I landed in prison. This is horrible. I'm in jail. I'm a victim. I'm lost. There's no purpose. I can't travel. He doesn't say that. He says that me being in jail, it's my new mission field. The entire imperial guard knows that I'm here for Christ. The circumstances does not matter because the job never changes. God's purpose will be fulfilled. So if I link my purpose to his purpose, then I can't lose. No matter what happens, I win because God directs my life. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. So when I'm on board with his purpose, I can't lose. And the second thing we see in the life of Paul, and here's the second question. How do these two views of life, embracing your own purpose for life and pursuing other things that make you happy, or embracing God's purpose for your life, which is to make Jesus known, how did these two relate to success of other people? What about the success of other people? You see, if I create my own purpose, then the success of other people will always be a threat to my joy. If I create my own reason for living, the success of other people will steal my joy. Now you see this in friendship. When there's a group of friends and there's a funny guy in the group, you are the funny guy. And another funny guy comes into the group and is more funny than you. What happens? You hate him. You're like, this guy needs to be stopped. I don't want him around. He needs to be stopped. Now, let's be honest. You know it. And some of you are in exclusive organizations. And someone applies and they want to get into that organization. And they have all the qualifications. But you're like, no, they can't come here. They're going to be a threat to me. They're going to grow stronger and they're going to be a threat to my position. Because that's all that you have. That's your purpose for life. So you got to protect it with everything you have. You hear it all around our world. She's too cute. He's too funny. He's too smart. I got to shut them down. Now, if you create your own source for meaning, when someone else succeeds in that thing, it robs your joy. It robs your joy. But if you embrace God's purpose for your life, and that's mainly to know God and to make Him known, then the success of other people brings you joy. Because you're in the same team. You're chasing the same purpose. You're in the same mission. You rejoice in their success. And that's what's happening in Paul's life. Look at what he says in verse 18. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. See, Paul says that me getting in jail has led to the guards to know about Jesus. And it has caused brothers and sisters to be more confident in preaching the gospel. I mean, if you're a guy, you can relate to this. If you go with a couple of guys to cliff diving or bungee jumping, and you see one guy jumps, as a guy, you are morally obligated to jump. You know, even when you are scared, you know it. And that's what Paul is saying, that him getting arrested, it has encouraged other brothers to be bold, and it has inspired them to preach the gospel. He says some of them did out of beautiful motives, because they love me and they love Jesus. But he says some did it out of selfish ambition, because they saw that Paul getting arrested, it was a way for them to be famous and to be known. And Paul says it doesn't matter, as long as Christ is preached. And by the way, here Paul is not talking about people who preach heresy. He's talking about people who preach Christ, but just from an impure motives. You see, you can be religious. You can be in a religious world and still live in a sad, selfish perspective of seeking out your own glory. Paul looks at it and he says, I'm not advocating those bad motives, but as long as Christ is being preached, I rejoice. It doesn't matter as long as Christ is preached. I mean, he says that he's stationed there, he's chained there in prison, and it's for a purpose. And that purpose is to make Christ known throughout all the world. Now, annually here at Christchurch Midrand, we host the Great Conference. And the Great Conference is Christian hip-hop artists from all around South Africa who come here just to spend time together speaking about the business and to encourage each other. And for me, that's really one of the beautiful pictures of just seeing different people coming together, united around this one mission, and just coming together and say, look, we're not in competition with one another. We are the same team. So if one artist succeeds, I celebrate. If another church succeeds, I celebrate. If another ministry succeeds, I celebrate, because we are all in this for one purpose, and it's to make Christ known. So there's no rivalry. So you ask, when you succeed, when other people succeed in the cause for the gospel, you celebrate. It does not steal your joy. It does not steal your joy. So they said that the third thing is, how do these two ways of living, embracing your own way or embracing God's given purpose, handle the weight of your desires? How do they handle the weight of your desires? Now, if you create your own purpose in life, it can't satisfy your deepest desire. It can't. I mean, some of you will be aware of this. If you make romantic love or relationship your desire, it can't satisfy your deepest desire. It can't. No matter how good it is, it can never satisfy your deepest desire. You see, if you take a finer thing and try to make it a main thing, it cannot satisfy your deepest desire. Now, someday I've watched a TED Talk. This is not a Christian organization, and it was not a Christian. But this guy on the TED Talk, he was talking about pornography and why he quit watching pornography. And he said this, that he was obsessed with sex and much of our culture. He was obsessed with sex, and much of our culture has made pornography an attractive thing. And he said this, as he watched pornography, as he watched different sex acts, they lacked gentleness, human touch, and they lacked humor and real human interaction. And he discovered that his obsession with sex destroyed sex and was destroying him internally, because he was making something. He was making him into something that he didn't want to be. You see, if you take a finite thing and you're trying to make it an ultimate thing, it can't satisfy your deepest desires. And our history is full of people who have tried to take a finite thing and make it an ultimate thing, and they realize that it still does not satisfy their deepest desire. There's an author by the name of Jack Higgins who wrote 16 novels, and almost all of them were bestsellers. And he said this, when you get to the top, there is nothing there. When you get to the top, there is nothing there. You make your own desires. It can't fully satisfy you. Paul looks at his life as he's contemplating life and death. He looks at it and he says in verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. Why? And he gives us his reason in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again in verse 20 he says, as it is, my eager expectation and hope that I will not be all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. See, Paul discovered that the more he rests on Jesus, the more he finds him to be stable. The more he leans on Jesus with all eager expectation and hope, the more strong he finds him to be. Paul sounds deeply passionate in these particular verses. That is, his whole expectation, his whole life is devoted to this mission of Christ. He realized that Christ is better than life. And Christ can handle your deepest desires. He can handle your deepest desires. Because he has created you with a purpose. And that is to know him and make him known. And in the face of death, if you create your own meaning for life, then death crushes it all. Death is the end, no matter what you do. But Paul looks at it, at death, and he says, death for me is a gain. Because my whole life is about God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and making him known. And you see, Jesus faced death, and it crushed him. And 3 days later, he rose, and he conquered death. The ultimate destroyer of life, Christ has conquered death. So that me and you can have a living hope in him. You see, death is a finish line, but also the beginning of a whole new race of getting to be with Christ forever in eternity. You see, if you embrace God's purpose for your life, then death is not the end. Death is not the end. Now, as we close, here's what's beautiful about this. When you look at Paul, there's something fascinating happening here. You look at his circumstances are a mess. He's in prison, no freedom. He's being insulted by people outside, and he's facing the possibility of death. I mean, some of you are having a bad day because it's Monday tomorrow. But if I came to you and said, what if I took away your freedom? Your friends insulted you. What if I put a threat of death on your life? You'll probably say that's the worst possible circumstances I could ever face. But yet you read a passage like this, and you see Paul that in the midst of this, he's joyful. I mean, it's like, guys, things are going well for me at this camp because the whole prison guard has come to know Christ. He's happy. He's joyful. The word rejoice comes around again and again in the book of Philippians. Because Paul understands God's given purpose for his life. Paul understands God's given purpose for his life. It's almost like Paul has the world in checkmate. I don't know if you've ever played chess. I've never played chess. But I understand what is the point of chess. So at the basic level, when you play chess, you're trying to position yourself in a way that the other opponent cannot beat you. Am I right? All the chess players, who are you? It's true. I read about it online. It's true. So you position yourself in a way that no matter what the other person does, they cannot beat you. You cannot lose. And you look at Paul's life as he connects with the eternal, as he knows God and he makes him known. People come to him and they say, Paul, we're going to ruin your circumstances. We're going to take your freedom and put you in jail. He says, that's great. That's my new mission opportunity. They say, okay, Paul, we're going to make your friends slander against you. They're going to come after you. And he asks, are they preaching Christ? You say, yes. He says, that's fantastic. You say, Paul, we're going to kill you. He says, great. For me to die is gain. I get to be with Christ. So, okay, Paul, we're going to keep you alive. And he says, great. That means progress and joy in the faith as I get to serve my fellow brothers and sisters until God calls me home. And they look at him and they're like, you can't beat this guy. You can't beat this guy. No circumstances, no death, no life, no persecution can shake his joy. He has the whole world in checkmate. Why? Because he's chained to the eternal. That's the hope that we have when we get to know God. That's the hope that we have when we get to know God. Now, when I was preparing this sermon, it made me think of a couple of people in our lives who have walked the path, or those that are walking the similar path that Paul is walking. And there's an organization in Cape Town, one of our friends works for this organization called the Message Trust. And what they do, they have this team called the Eden Team, and they intentionally move into dangerous neighborhood and communities just to live among the people so that they can be a gospel witness. And these people, they don't quit their job. They still keep their job. So they leave like a fancy suburb like Midrand to go and stay in places like Kailisha and Cape Flats just to be among the people and be a good gospel witness. Why? Because they've embraced God's purpose for their life. And it's not about the comfort of being in that place, but it's about many people who have not had this message. And there's a guy by the name of William Wilberforce, you might know him. He lived in the 1800s. You should read stuff from the 1800s, by the way, because it's great to just see how God has been working and moving in generation and generation. So William Wilberforce fought against slavery in England, and for 40 years he was a politician. For 40 years, he was a Christian politician. For 40 years, after defeats and defeats and defeats, and finally, the slavery was abolished, and the government passed a law to abolish the slavery. You see, but what was remarkable was William Wilberforce's perseverance. Why? Because he was chained to the eternal. And now, the time when he was fighting the slavery, there were hardship. Doesn't mean that everything was going well. And this is one of the things that he said just 3 years before the slavery was abolished. And this was 37 years fight. And 3 years before victory, he wrote this. I have been so often disappointed that I rejoice with trembling and shall scarcely dare to be confident till I actually see the order in the Gazette. Well, in the Gazette, he was talking about the order to abolish slavery. But what was remarkable was Wilberforce's perseverance for 40 years. And one of his opponents said this about William Wilberforce. He said that it is necessary to watch him as he is blessed with a very sufficient quantity of that enthusiastic spirit, which so far from yielding that it grows more vigorous from blows. You see, William Wilberforce was like Paul. You knock him down, he gets up stronger. What do you do with a guy like that? See, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this evening, if you have not come to believe that God sent his only son into this world to live a perfect life that you could not live and die for our sins, if you have not come to believe in that, I want to challenge you and encourage you that don't miss out on this. Don't just live a life and miss out on why you are alive. So many people can tell you what they do, but they don't even bother to ask the question, why are they doing what they do? There's a God that made you. And don't waste your life on purposes that are not worth your life. Get to know Jesus and pursue him. And if you're a Christian, let me encourage you. Do you live like this? It's possible to say that you're a Christian and not live out of this deep understanding of the gospel. And if you are really his, then your position in that workplace, your position in that class is not by accident. Are we quick to complain before we pursue the course that God has called us? Paul landed in prison and said that I'm here for the glory of Christ. Have you ever said that about your job or about your school or whatever you're doing? Have you ever said that? That tomorrow morning when you walk into that office and in that class, say that I'm here to advance the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe that? Paul discovered it. And later on in Philippians, he said that everything is rubbish compared to the surpassing measure of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I encourage you to pray and ask God to give you love for him, a love that grows and that surrenders everything to him. And just before I pray, David Platt said this: we email, we Facebook, we tweet, we text people who are going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Our lives are too short to waste on mere temporal conversations when massive realities hang in the balance. Just as you and I have no guarantee that we will live through this day, the people around us are not guaranteed tomorrow either. So let's be intentional about sewing the threads of the gospel into the fabric of our conversations every day, knowing that it will not always be easy, yet believing that eternity will always be worth it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the life of Paul. Lord, we thank you that we could learn from him on how he embraced God's given purpose for his life. And we pray that if we're standing here this evening and we call ourselves Christians, would you help us, Lord, that we may embrace our God-given purpose for life, so that we may look at all our circumstances on everything that we do in light of the gospel. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who's still pursuing other things, that, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you may draw them closer to you, that they may understand that the reason that they're here is because you made them and you have a purpose for them. And Father, we pray that you may help us, Lord, to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. For his sake we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to TGC's Word of the Week. Check back next week for another gospel-centered sermon. We also invite you to visit the resources section of our website, thegospelcoalition.org, to find thousands of sermons to help you understand and apply God's Word.